7 verse 1 and 2. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth.
Oh, great scripture.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Wednesday being our Prime Life Times in Review, where we look at our publication. Many times have a content contributor or a staff member read a story or an article or reference something that's in the paper. And that's true of this Wednesday. Rob Seenberg with us.
That's the same person sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Rob, for joining us. And I know we're going to read a couple different stories. I think your rural memories and maybe something about time. But I was thinking as you were sharing how God orchestrates time, works through time. I mean, he's beyond time or outside of time. It's
clearly
one of those phenomenons we can't really understand.
He created it, so
but isn't
surely
it,
he's outside of it.
But isn't it interesting, sometimes you prepare for something. In your case, you were preparing for a message. You were excited to deliver it on Thursday, and you waited, and, like, nobody showed up, and then you still waited, and a half hour goes by, and then, like, one person shows up, but at that point, you're like, gosh, I don't know if I'm supposed to deliver this message for the one person, but I think there's been some stories, D.L. Moody or
yep.
someone in the past where they delivered a message just to like two or three people,
mm-hmm.
or I've heard the story where I think nobody showed up and the pastor, I don't know if this is a true story, but
right.
the pastor delivered the message and somebody was listening outside the church. They were
mm-hmm.
seated there and it really had an impact on them and touched them. But anyways, back to your story. So you didn't get to deliver your message on Thursday, but lo and behold, come Sunday, you got to deliver that very message. And apparently a young person, it stirred up her faith, and she talked to her mom and said, I think today I'm ready to receive
wow.
Jesus. So
yeah.
I share all that because there might be somebody thinking, wow, I had every intention on doing this, or my plan
yeah.
was this, and it didn't work out. But please be aware that God can still use what's maybe on your heart or
you
a
bet.
Desire you want to do or accomplish. And it might be just another day. So, Rob, what are you doing with our microphone
turn
there?
Turn it around.
Yeah, Rob, this face, this voice, they're your way.
No, I was just looking at the back. It looks like there are a couple plugins there, and I wondered what they
Yeah,
are.
There's a couple different settings. You can, like, there's a little switch in there that you could flip. But
we lost Rob to technical situation.
Make voice nicer.
Rob's getting a little ADD on us.
No,
you know,
actually part of it is Rob is very good. Even when he was young, like a 3-year-old, that one article you wrote where you wanted to work the water pump or whatever.
Yeah, right.
He just likes to understand how things work.
Yeah, take
some
them apart.
Like
we don't want you
yeah.
taking apart the microphone
okay.
and upgrading
I promise.
Well,
yeah,
you know, you said something, Mark, that interested me. We're so numbers-oriented here in America. We just worry about how many people show up for this or that, you know, and maybe it's not worthwhile. Oh, my, only 5 people came. But I know my experience has been that sometimes the most important things that have ever been said were in, like, a very small group of
yeah.
people or
yeah.
just one-to-one or
yeah.
2 people, you know. And we just kind of lose that in our, oh, dear, not many yeah. people are coming to the service. Maybe
yeah.
you're still speaking to that one or two that's going to change their life and change lots of important things.
Yeah, twice my wife and I had Bible studies, and following a Bible study with 24 people in our home, the next Bible study, one lady showed up. And you know what? God was just in that thing, and we just got to disciple her
yep.
over the next 3 months. And she would say, now, what book did you mention? She'd write it down and immediately go and get the book and read it.
That's great.
And so that was awesome. And then some years later, we had about 16 people in a Hispanic Bible study, and we changed topics, and one young couple came. However, because they were alone there, they felt free to pour out their story. He was not a Christian. She was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he came to the Lord over a period of that Bible study, and you know, it just doesn't get any better than that. So God is so gracious.
He is, and talk about time, and he does understand timing.
Right. And with what you're saying, Marianne, and I totally agree, we tend to focus on the numbers. I do it with events and how many people, but oftentimes God always works in the opposite. More things are accomplished or talked about, or people are more transparent when it's smaller and more intimate, or the sharing can be focused on something that they wanted to share, which they may never have shared in a group of 6 or 8 or 15.
Well, remember Gideon. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it turned out God said, you got too many in your Sunday school, Gideon. Send some home.
You know what? I heard Alistair Begg teach on Gideon.
I like Alistair Begg.
I loved, he looked at it totally different. We always say those 300 he had were very alert, and they were probably the best of the best. And, and if you look through that whole narrative, it's showing that it's not about man's strength how good they were. And he said they were probably the least competent. And that would go with the narrative of God got the glory, because these weren't the like the prime warriors or the, you know, the Green Beret type of that time. These were probably the most incompetent, maybe lapping the water. Maybe they were like dogs just laying down. I've always heard we say, oh, they were
but
the best.
But that's our way of thinking.
But Alistair, I loved his message. This was maybe 3 weeks ago, but he said, you know what, if you look at it, it's all about God receiving the glory and not because of man's giftedness or whatever. And I started thinking, you know, those probably were the least of them, not the best.
Well, it's so interesting, too. We were talking about numbers, and I think sometimes God goes to great lengths having people, as Paul said, some sow, some water, to get one person to a place so they can hear something. Mm-hmm. And then what's our response? Oh, just one or two showed up. Let's dismiss. You know, let's not have the event now because, you know, only a couple showed up. Let's all go out for pizza. It's like God may have worked for 5 months to get that person there to hear what he needed them to hear.
And then that verse where two or three are gathered together, which the Lord can be in the midst of them, and that's a winning hand, two or three in his name. So. And we've prayed up the program and are asking God to encourage and bless and challenge, maybe bring healthy conviction or hope, or maybe somebody just needs a little humor, or maybe there's something that's going to be referred to that will stir you on in your faith journey. Maybe you'll take another step in your walk with the Lord.
In your relationship,
Your relationship will grow as a result of tuning in today or hearing something on our broadcasts. And I'm so excited with our 19 frequencies. I mean, you can literally go from parts of Indiana all the way across our great state and then up towards Macomb or Whitehall or Beardstown to the very end of the state. So it's so
neat. We should take a road trip to Macomb.
Yeah.
All of us. Let's get in the car and get over there and see those people.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I've been spending a lot of time in Springfield last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with Tim. This is Tim's second week, and we'll probably get him on a future morning program, introducing him more and sharing some of his faith journey and testimony. But it's been great spending a lot of time with him and the whole staff. I think there was about 12 of us last Wednesday. We unloaded his U-Haul. It was the largest U-Haul you can rent. I don't know how many feet, and it was literally packed from the floor to the ceiling all the way. And I think there was at least like 15 of us. I think 4 or 5 board members also showed up last Wednesday.
Well, they emptied a house, and they've been there quite a while. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. So as we were taking it, I mean, 15 of us pulling it, setting it down.
Wow.
And we're like, at one point, an hour or so into this, does anyone see the front of the truck? I mean, there's so many couches and bikes and washing machines and all these things are coming out. And it's like there was a point where we're like, does anyone see the front of this yet?
That reminds me one time when we were cleaning out our garage. And my oldest daughter, we thought we'll never make it to the back of the garage.
Yeah.
And she finally did. And she stood there with this bandana scarf on, and she had her broom raised over her head. She goes, I made it.
That's awesome.
So we appreciate Tim and just the impact he's already having. And it's just been great to have him.
Well, when that Macomb station was dedicated on a Sunday, I was there with my son at that dedicatory service, although I didn't live in that area at the time. Dick Van Zandt was there, and Mike Kellogg was a featured speaker.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah, the ministry of WLUJ has been around 33 years, I think, and it's been wonderful. We've just began to update stationery and different things that we'll be sending out. I'm signing thank yous to all the great donors.
Great.
And appreciate
thank
all
you.
Of our listeners. 19 frequencies is pretty impressive when you get to see the reach and the expansive ways that God can use it. And we're planning some neat upcoming events, and we'll be talking about that in the coming days. I got away for two quick days. It was like, you know, we got to Branson, I think, at 1 a.m.
You vacated.
So we had a Saturday, Sunday there, and then we had to be back on Monday. So we did get to see one show.
Did you pass yourself coming and going?
Yeah. It was kind of fun. The first day, everyone was like, so have you seen this? Have you done this?
Yeah.
We just stayed around and swam in the pool there. And the
relaxed.
Whole time, we just relaxed. And, I know
those vacations where you just sleep.
Yeah.
And you're like, how'd you like the great place, the great Branson? I don't know.
So you didn't hear the Peterson family bluegrass?
No, we went to one that illusionist only on Sunday night because everything else was closed.
Yeah.
There were fewer options being Sunday night. But he was really good, and Esther loved it, and, you know, we had fun. But that was really it. It was one of those where you had to sit through a two-hour timeshare thing because we got like
two
nights of hotels free.
Takes up half your whole visit.
Well, it ended up being 3 hours
because,
that's how that is.
We weren't interested in the timeshare, and then by the time that ended, and then, well, anyways, it did tie up half the day. So.
Yeah, it does.
So somebody said, hey, was it really relaxing then? I said, well, we tried to teach Esther how to ride a bike, and I was trying to teach Holly how to swim.
Oh.
Yeah, we brought bikes along, so that was a little stressful.
You jump out of the pool and teach Esther, and jump back in and teach Holly.
It's going on a learning vacation.
Esther was like, you know, it's not easy with the balancing.
But you know,
she was kind of terrified, and I was running around holding the bike and keeping her balanced, and I mean, I was getting exhausted. And
suddenly she will know how, and she won't know how or why she knows how.
That's
and
how it
she'll
is.
Be excited like and love it, and this has been the same. We told her, I said, Esther, you got pushed through.
Yeah.
I know you're afraid, and I know it's scary.
I remember the day I learned at my cousin's house.
I do, too. I fell off so many times. My brothers kept propping me back up on it, like pushing me off.
So I think once she gets it, but she was like discouraged. I'm done. I don't want to do it, and I just had to say, nope, we got to keep trying. And then getting Holly to float, that was just, I was like, gosh, it's so easy to swim.
Did you go out there knowing you were going to do teaching?
No. Well, the biking, I did.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, that was just kind of interesting. And then Holly not swimming, you know, just trying to learn, you know, the dog paddle is so easy. And then I was trying,
you cannot start out that way.
Did you ever do it with this? Grab the apple, put it in the basket when you go sideways and do
what
that?
What are you talking about?
No, I think he's talking about the Australian crawl.
Yeah, another way of swimming and then floating with your feet against
the
side.
That's the official name of that,
Holly did good. That wasn't so stressful.
I did not learn any of those things that way.
It was kind of funny. And then she'd hold on to my neck, and she'd practice kicking, and then I'd
walk
around.
Holly, are you enjoying this program?
Okay, so it's Wednesday. It's the Private Life Times in Review. What do we have here, Rob? Real memories.
Well, if you have your June paper, you can go to page A5. And this is the column Rural Memories, as Mark said. And the column title is Big Bill and the Racing Pheasant.
Oh, boy.
Now, I remember...
This is commentary now.
No, we have to read.
This is commentary. At the little get-together we had before my dad's funeral, our family told all kinds of stories. And the next day, the pastor said at the funeral, I couldn't believe this wonderful family was telling all these lies. And
at the funeral of your...
Yeah.
What?
Well, he just thought we were spinning yarns. But if stuff has really happened to you, trust me, a lot of people will not believe any of it if not much has happened
to
them.
Well, that is true.
And this is the pastor saying this?
I was chased by baboons across the field, People are like, what?
And you walked across a river on crocodiles and didn't
know
it, right?
Crocodiles, anyway.
Okay, so... This is a true story. You can believe it or not. It's your loss if you don't.
No, you should say, this is a true story for you to believe.
That's well said.
Yeah, why believe it or not? Then he's already put a doubt. Why is he saying that? Is it not to be believed?
Well,
you and I talk about this very end when people qualify things. They're like, why are they qualifying
that's
it?
True.
Is it not
that's
true?
True?
It's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like when people say, honestly, and it's like, what were you just saying before?
I'm going to be honest with you now.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
A good neighbor during my farming days was Big Bill. Nearly 7 feet tall, Bill weighed in at about 300 pounds. The guy was just plain enormous and strong as a proverbial ox, but gentle as a lamb. He farmed a couple miles down the road. His brother-in-law, who had a town job, was an excellent mechanic. He had a better tool collection on his pickup than did most professional mechanics. You might say Dave collected tools. Big Bill was always happy to see him coming because Dave freely loaned his time, expertise, and tools for any machinery repair project, which he was always glad to help with.
That's kind of how we feel when we see Rob coming over.
I know. Get all the repair work out.
Big Bill loved to tell stories, all true, of course. One day, while he sat at my front yard picnic table, waiting as I hand-sharpened a couple of his big man-sized chainsaws, he told me about the racing pheasant. His dad farmed out on the highway on the farm that adjoined mine to the north, just across a little river that ran through my place. Big Bill had been operating a large, articulated tractor of his dad's, pulling a field cultivator through a mile-long bottomland field. His dad had told him about a certain cock pheasant, but, as Big Bill put it, the tail had seemed pretty tall, so it went in one ear and out the other. As Bill tilled, a pheasant suddenly appeared next to the tractor and seemed to be racing it. It kept him company on every pass across the field, running alongside. We didn't have cell phones with cameras in those days, and Bill had no chance to photograph the pheasant, but he did tell everybody about it. Sadly, he became the laughingstock of the neighborhood. It seemed no one believed his story. About a week after he told me the pheasant story, I was driving along the highway past Big Bill's dad's farmyard. Suddenly, a beautiful cock pheasant flew out of a nearby field and landed on the roadside. I slowed nearly to a stop, not wanting to run over him. I needn't have worried. As I came even with the pheasant, he took off running right beside me. I clocked him at just over 10 miles an hour. As I sped up, he took off and flew right beside my pickup, easily keeping up as I got to 50 miles per hour. Soon others began seeing what came to be known as Bill's pheasant. He was exonerated. His good name was cleared. To my delight, Big Bill went back to telling those delightful true stories we all enjoyed so much. Copyright Scene to Circle, Rob Seidenberg.
That's great. Rob grew up on the farm and has a few stories of his own to tell.
And this is one of them.
Rob at PrimeLifetimes.com.
That's Rob at PrimeLifetimes.com.
And do we have time for this little article or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time.
Okay. That's the name of it.
We've cheerfully used many terms related to time, but do we understand time? We talk about yesterday and tomorrow, but whenever we check, it's always right now. Or is it?
Oh, dear.
What on earth are the future and the past, anyway? Did you notice as a child how time in the classroom really dragged on a beautiful spring afternoon when you longed to be outside enjoying the nice weather? At other times, time seems to fly as when we're running late.
Dragged on.
It dragged on.
I think you said dragged. Oh, never mind.
No, it dragged on a beautiful spring afternoon.
Okay.
Now, it did drag on, but I didn't want to say on.
Yeah, I was wondering. I felt like there needed to be another on in there, but then you didn't say on, but you did.
On and on.
Okay.
A clock at a high elevation records more minutes and seconds during a particular period than does one at a lower elevation.
That just really right there. Oh, well. Anyway, go ahead.
This accords with Einstein's general theory of relativity. The idea is that with greater gravity, Earth more strongly warps the time and space closer to it. Researchers confirmed this phenomenon in 2010 using clocks only 33 centimeters, about a foot, apart. We typically think of quantum entanglement involving two linked...
Okay, this is why the clock on my stove is always different than the one on
everyone,
the microwave.
This is what we're going to talk about today in the lunchroom, quantum entanglement.
Okay, now let's let him finish. Let him finish. This is so complicated, I'm lost. Okay, anyway, something about clocks 33 feet apart or something. No, a
33
foot apart.
Centimeters apart.
Sorry.
We typically think of quantum entanglement involving two linked particles.
At least I do. Do you, Marianne?
I do now.
You know, for a couple $100, you can get parts from Radio Shack and make one of these things, and you can see two photons come off at once. So you can do this in the comfort and privacy of your own home.
Sounds like a real fun afternoon.
Yes.
But scientists now believe that up to four such particles could be linked together somewhere in our universe. Physics can examine relationships in the universe without regard to temporal constructs.
Thank goodness.
Physics can examine relationships in the universe without regard to temporal constructs. Time might have had a beginning, and it might end. I'm glad someone finally figured this out. It's about time.
Yeah, I think you were talking about before this program that some will really like this and some won't at all.
It'll just upset them.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it just upsets people.
I was chatting with Nick Holonyuk in his room one day.
Oh, he's a brilliant scientist from the U of I.
He is a brilliant scientist. And I said, I'm fairly certain that one of the things the Chinese are working on the other side of the moon is this quantum entanglement experiment. And he said, how sure are you? And I said, 98%. And he said, I'm 100% sure they're doing that. Well, now they have shared with the world the first quantum encoded message ever sent in the universe. And so if you have two particles linked together, quantum entangled, one can be here and one can be on the other side of the moon. Theoretically, at least as far as we know, it could be anywhere in the universe. So can you imagine instantaneous communication now? It wouldn't matter how many celestial bodies are in between us and that. Wouldn't matter how far away it is. You could get the communication instantly.
So you're saying that my book that's going to the moon might be on Mars and Venus and everywhere else just because I sent it to the moon?
It depends on how entangled it is with other books.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
No, but if you sent it by a quantum
code
entangled message.
Oh, I did plan on doing that.
Yeah, you did. Okay, well, as soon as you did that.
Let me pull out a few of those quantum codes out of my wallet now and try to
listen. We're so glad you're here with us on this program. We don't know what we're talking about, but
there are a lot of us. There are a lot of other good articles in this month's edition that are worth reading
and understandable
that are helpful.
Rob, thank you. You've tried to explain this phenomenon, or maybe it's not a phenomenon, of quantum entanglement to me before, and I'm still working on it. Thank you.
What's neat, though. If, in fact, time was created, we know the creator behind the creation of time,
mm-hmm.
who lives outside of time, which is unfathomable. You can't explain that.
Well, like Rob said earlier, it's a created thing.
Yeah, that it is created. And I guess scientists are now verifying that mm-hmm. seemingly it has been created or brought into existence, and only God can do that.
And if the archangel blows that trumpet and time ends, maybe we'll understand all this.
Yeah. Which reminds me, our time is running out. we have other things to attend to. And so if you haven't picked up this month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes, it's available at over 350 locations. You can find out more at primelifetimes.com. PrimeLifetimes.com. You can read it online, but if you're like me and thousands of others, what did we think? 32,000 monthly readers? I forget how many monthly readers, but they like touching the pages and turning it. It's full color and it's accessible, like I said, and can be mailed to your home. Just sign up at PrimeLifetimes.com, PrimeLifetimes.com.
Well, here's something I know. For all this quantum entanglement and things and 32,000 readers and all this stuff, I think there's one person that tuned in today, maybe for the very first time. In fact, I think it is for the first time.
Hmm.
And they just need to know one thing. They tuned in for a reason, and it's so you can hear that God really, really loves you.
Amen.
And you are not forgotten.
Amen. Good word. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.